Hi, it's Jane Hoffman with Blog Talk Radio. The name of our show is Political Gravity. Albert's in the house already. I'll bring him in a minute. We're going to be talking primarily about the California primary election results. The overall standard was that Clinton won by 1,940,000 votes. Sanders was second with 1,502. The percentage ratio was 55.8% for Clinton, and she gained 265 delegates and 69 superdelegates. And Sanders got 43.2% of the vote with 196 delegates and 0 superdelegates. I wanted to mention 3 to 4 counties. San Francisco is one of the most liberal places in America. In Alameda County, it was 107,000 to 91,000, a 53-45% margin, which is about standard across the board for the state. Just south of San Francisco in San Mateo County, it was Clinton 60% and Sanders 38%. And Marin County was Clinton with a 57% margin over Sanders. Now, L.A. County had a wide margin for Clinton with 57% or 42% for Sanders. It was 590,000 versus 4,034,000. And my host tonight is contesting Riverside County with 100% of the votes in. It was 59.9% for Clinton with 73,724,000 votes and 47,988 for Sanders. Now, both San Bernardino and Riverside counties are two of the bigger ones in the state. Riverside County goes all the way from about 10 miles to the coast, all the way to the Arizona border, and San Bernardino is the largest county in the United States geographically, and that's that county garnered 71,246 votes for Clinton at a margin of 57% and 41% for Sanders with 51,000 votes. With that, I'm going to pull Albert in. Hi, Albert. How are you tonight?
Hey, surviving.
Good. So far, it's just you and me on the line. Don's wife said he might join in 20 minutes, and that remains to be seen.
Right.
So
right.
What's the most prominent, based on our conversation last night, I believe that you're rather upset by the conventional results listed on major news websites for the Clinton-Sanders contest.
In fact, you know, RT, you know, and just like you say, you know, they're listed on the major news websites and on major news. I mean, you type in Google and Google would, like, direct you to these specific websites. So I'm looking at right now, like, here's nytimes.com, elections, and, you know, it's one of the first ones you can find on Google and whatnot. But I looked up, RT had made a report on how they talk about that such search engines are guilty in the election engines. It is a report on RT on how search engines are guilty of election engineering. There we go. I mispronounced it. They had another TV show it's about yesterday on RT America, and they talked about about Google's revolving doors, you know, top executives, they get into politics, you know, and then go back, they go back to Google to work as a very top executive.
Within the Google corporation, you mean?
Yeah. And it's all in RT and how they talk about it. And it's really interesting. And, you know, I mean, I'm talking about it because it is related to the election. Because, you know, I mean, when people are looking up president, like you know, they're running for president, like Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz, you know, Chris Christie, or John Kasich, or you know, et cetera. This goes on, you know, right? Or they go and they go on Google mostly, or MSN or Yahoo. But most people that tend to go on Google. Google seems to be the most popular one, and so it, you know, and our RT America News made some really discovery and really interesting reports about, you know, Google and how their search engines and it's very interesting. I mean, I encourage people to check it out. You know, I don't want to get into a lot of speculation on basic information that I recovered, but it wouldn't matter anyways because there's no hard evidence. But even though, I mean, I think it's kind of retarded. I mean, Google has way too much. It has a lot of power over the internet. I mean, let's just say if Google and MSN and Yahoo wanted to Hillary Clinton to win the nominee, they can easily push that over the internet. Cause, you know what I mean? Because they control the search engines. They control, you know, and a lot more other stuff on their, you know. Basically, you know what I mean? So it gets into it. And I'm not even getting into, because on the electronic voting machines, because right about now, all electronic voting machines are owned by ESNN and Diebold, you know, and they could be supporting Hillary Clinton for all we know. We don't know. You know what I mean? It is.
Yeah,
so,
I found something on the internet.
It is so ridiculous how much, like, two electronic companies have so much power over all the voting system, and then how much, basically, Google has most of the control power over the search engine and where you go to look up stuff. So you know what I mean? Well, we're run by the few, you know, the top most powerful basically kind of run the show and where we go to look up, even where we go to look up information or even vote, just like I mentioned before, you know what I mean?
Yes, I wanted to bring up one relevant fact that's unique to California. Greg Palast, who is a columnist, and he's also a blogger, he wrote, there's a category in California voters called NPP, no party preference. There are 4.2 million voters in California registered as no party preference. And of that percentage of 4.2 million, 40% favor Bernie Sanders. Now, the registered Democrats in California favor Clinton by over 30 percentage points. But when you go to the polls, for example, as you know, in primaries, you are either registered as a Democrat or Republican. But if you are voting and you are not either, if you're independent or not party affiliated, they gave an example in this article in Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, if you don't say the magic words, I want a Democratic crossover ballot, you are automatically given a ballot without a presidential race. In other words, you're only voting for lower-end things on the ballot. And ready for this, if an NPP voter asks the poll worker, how do I get to vote in the Democratic Party primary, they are instructed to say, NPP voters, non-party voters, can't get Democratic ballots. They are ordered not to breathe a word that the voter can get a crossover ballot that includes the presidential race. So what this article, this no party preference category is trying to indicate is that of the 4.2 million voters, let's just say 3 million show up at the polls, if they don't ask the right questions or if they reveal to the voter poll workers that they are independent, they may not have a chance to vote for either Clinton or Bernie.
Right. And here's the thing about the polls and whatnot. MSNBS, I'm not, can you repeat that? MSNBC,
That's
MSNBC.
That's right, correct. Yep,
yeah,
MSNBC.
Yeah, MSNBC, on their website, right, they have a polling for Hillary Clinton where you can go and say if you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, yes or no, or maybe. And right now, I'm looking at it right now, for Hillary Clinton 2016, right, 84% said no on MSNBC website. And, you know, they're one of the main big corporate media stations. So,
right.
You know, they never did one single report on television about that. And it's not something you can easily find on Google, by the way, you know, and I have the link to it and whatnot, you know. So if you haven't stumbled across the MSNBC website and you're looking at the polls, be sure to try to look your way in there and find the polling for Hillary. And it was 85% that said no a month ago when I checked. It's 84% now. But anyways, it's a huge number saying no anyways. And it's ridiculous because, okay, look in California, right? During, like, when Bernie Sanders went to, you know, like, San Bernardino, he went to Riverside, he went to Cathedral City, and he went to other cities in California, right? And, you know, and you see these rallies on even YouTube videos, and there's always about 1,000 people. And, you know, so Bernie Sanders normally pulls about 1,000 people into his rallies in California, right? Hillary Clinton, you know, had not as many as Bernie Sanders rallies, right? She had a couple of rallies, very few. But her average per rally is about 300 people they show up to a rally. That's her average per count, you know?
For the Bernie rallies?
No, I meant for Hillary. For Hillary's
okay.
Rallies, average people that show up to her rallies is about 300, you know? That's the average.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so here we go, okay? So a lot
I'm
more
listening.
Basically, what I'm trying to say basically is a whole lot more people show to the Bernie Sanders rally in California, right? And a whole lot less people showed up to Hillary Clinton's rally, right? In fact, when Hillary Clinton came to Riverside 2 weeks ago, there was a huge protest against Hillary Clinton, right? And so, you know, so a lot, there's been a lot of protests showing up against Hillary Clinton, of course. But mainly in Riverside was pretty huge. It was so huge, you know, it basically scared Hillary Clinton from coming back to California. And she didn't came. After that, 2 weeks ago, from what happened in Riverside from that big protest, Hillary Clinton didn't came back to California until June 6th, just the day before the, you know,
mm-hmm.
the vote. So, anyway,
what part of
so,
the state
yeah,
did she come to? You know,
no, on June 6th, I don't remember, but I do remember 2 weeks ago. Yeah, she was in Riverside. But what I'm getting to basically. Is that, yeah, a lot more people show up to see Bernie Sanders and Hillary, right? And California, especially in California. Still, Hillary Clinton overtakes California by big numbers. So that's what's concerning to me. It's puzzling to me how, like, thousands of people in California show up to Bernie and only a couple hundred show up to Hillary, but yet the number goes backwards. You know, that is concerning to me and mind-boggling, you know?
Well, the only thing I can say is within the article that I just mentioned to you, it says that half of the California voters vote by mail ahead of time, but most no-preference party voters don't realize that to vote in the Democratic primary today, they have to bring their NPP ballot with the envelope and say, I want to surrender my ballot in return for a Democratic crossover ballot. So I remember one time when I lived in Reseda, California, and I had lived in San Fernando for like 4 months out of 12 months, but I was still registered in Reseda. I was given a provisional ballot, and I remember that California, this was back like in around 2008, California was more flexible back then, but now it seems, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's been a series of federal court battles in Ohio, The Republicans were trying to institute a literacy test, which would have targeted uneducated urban poor. And all across the country, it's not just the Democratic Party who basically runs the California primary in the Democratic sphere, but a lot of states are cracking down with more requirements that are making it hard for voters to have flexibility. So I haven't done a lot of research on it, but in college, it was brought to our attention that the Bush campaign in 2004 was trying to make restriction on certain voters too, and that's why they said that George Bush Jr. stole the Ohio votes from John Kerry, because he was way ahead in the polls and other things. So all I can say is that people have to be aware before they go to the polls of what their rights are. Because in the same article, it says that this woman, I'll quote her. She said, I am from West Hollywood and was denied voting twice. I'm a no party preference. I do not even appear on the voting rolls, nor does my street at the voting rolls. Voting suppression is in full swing. And a couple people drove to their voting polls and they were not given a ballot. They were denied it.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I know of a person that exactly had voter suppression. You know, his name is Chuck. And hopefully if he calls in, he'll be able to weigh in on his experience on voting and suppression and what happened to him. You know, when he tried to vote and what happened to his voter registration. But, you know, I mean, California, I mean, I figured that most people would know in California, you know, if, you know, even though it's an open primary, you know, if you're, let's just say you're a Republican, you cannot vote for a Democrat nominee, right? So you got to be in a Democrat nominee, vote Democrat, or you got to be a non-party affiliation. But some people try to go non-party affiliation and they accidentally put independent and they end up in an independent party. So I can see where that makes
sense. That's what I'm talking about. The safest thing to do, no matter what let's just say you have really strong feelings for or against Hillary or Donald Trump, let's just pick those two people. Their safest bet was 60 days ago they should have registered either as a Democrat or Republican and chose to vote against one or the other, because if you're a no party preference in California, then you have to ask for a crossover vote. Now, I'm not sure what you have to do in the Republican Party. Let's say you're an independent voting Republican. Maybe it's a little easier. But this particular blogger, Greg Palast, brings out many examples on how people were misinformed or ill-informed, and they lost their chance to vote in the primary.
Well, here's a very interesting thing to continue on in California, right? You know, even the mainstream media and independent media stations, you know, and mainstream media stations like CNN, ABC, you know, PBS, you know, Fox News, they said, yeah, they have said on television, right? They said that, yeah, California is a very progressive state, you know, it's one of the non-swing states, you know. You know, California's always
right.
Been,
it's,
you know,
it's been solidly
state, right?
Blue for years.
Yeah, exactly. They say that California is the most progressive state out of all the states. You know, that's what MSNBC said.
As far as cultural diversity.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying what CNN has said, NBC has said, Fox News has said. And even independent media stations like RT and Democracy Now, they agree and they have said, you know, before that, you know, California is the one of the most strongest progressive states out there. You know, they're very progressive, right? So let's go on progressive values, right? I mean, and this is only just RT and Democracy Now have said that they have said that, you know, Bernie Sanders had more progressive values than Hillary Clinton, you know. And, you know, the backwards go for the mainstream media, because the mainstream media seems to be supporting a lot more Hillary Clinton than Bernie, except Fox News kind of supports, it's kind of in between, supports a little bit kind of Bernie Sanders more. But anyways, I believe that Bernie Sanders is a lot more progressive than Hillary Clinton, right? So if let's just say for sure, right? Like Bernie Sanders, let's just say right now, right? Bernie Sanders is more progressive than Hillary Clinton, right? So if that's the case, right? Then wouldn't it be that California would be very strongly voting for Bernie Sanders?
Well, you have to understand, by the way, this Greg, I just wanted to mention one thing because I'm going to answer your question. Greg Palast is a writer also. He's a contributor to Rolling Stone, the BBC, and The Guardian. And he's also releasing a feature documentary based on his book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Jerry Brown and the Democratic establishment who runs the primary had, you know, they have Hillary Clinton in their back pocket. But he did mention in this article, and I will answer your question, that most of the procedural nonsense, like the need to surrender a no-party preference ballot in exchange for a crossover ballot, was frankly Bernie Sanders' campaign responsibility to inform all their voters. He said that the Sanders campaign was spending time talking policy at giant rallies instead of educating their voters on how to vote. And then he said, in the rat maze called American voting system, the painfully amateur Sanders campaign never provided a voter's guide map. In other words, see, they're pretty much indicating in the article that Governor Jerry Brown, who's been an establishment Democrat for years, his father was a former governor, I'm sure you know that it was engineered for Clinton to win from the beginning. Not to say that they actually cheated, but that there were gaps in the way that the voters were educated statewide on how to cast their ballots if they were not part of the two major parties. So outside that realm of party politics, people should have been either had to inform themselves or figure out a way, because it doesn't seem like the Northern California people had any problems voting for Sanders. In one desert county in the eastern part of the state, Sanders won about 60% of the votes. So I'm not sure, and in Mendocino County, which is about 100 miles north of Frisco, Sanders won 62% of the vote. So I'm really not sure why these certain people were not educated properly.
Well, before you try to answer my question or anything, it was more like a statement. It wasn't really one a question, but let me make another statement, right? Here's another more proof that Bernie Sanders is really progressive, right? The Green Party, many had said that the Green Party is very more progressive than the Democrat Party. In fact, Joe Stein, not once but twice, has tried to communicate with Bernie Sanders to join the party and to be a part of the Green Party and whatnot. You know, even officially, the Green Party, just the Green Party, and not even Joe Stein, they requested Bernie Sanders to join their party back in 2011. That's right, 2011, the Green Party told Bernie Sanders to join their party. But Bernie Sanders did not join the party and went with the Democrats, right? And so throughout the time, Joe Stein has repeatedly tried to get Bernie Sanders to join the party or to have some collaboration because, Joe Stein mostly feels the same way from Bernie Sanders' point of views, right? So Bernie Sanders still hasn't. It seems like Bernie Sanders is ignoring Joe Stein. So, because they said that Joe Stein has said that Bernie Sanders never got back to her, and she's been, and she has been trying to communicate with him for almost about a year. So that's another puzzling thing. So that's another way that kind of shows that Bernie Sanders is very progressive. For those who know Joe Stein, extremely progressive. Bernie Sanders is more progressive than Hillary Clinton. That's, you know, that's another reason why, you know what I mean? And let me also, too, because here's an interesting thing to look at today, you know, because, you know, Barack Obama already had a conference with Hillary Clinton and also had a conference with Bernie Sanders and talked with Bernie Sanders. You know, after Bernie Sanders got out the White House and talking to Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders mentioned that they should recount California. And, you know, and still, and the counts are not finished in California. I mean, last time
did
I checked.
Did he really say that?
Yes, he said that. Yes, he said that they should recount in California. Mm-hmm. He sure did. He sure did, right? He
wow.
said that right out of the White House today, sometime in the morning. I don't know what time, but
yeah,
he
met with Obama this morning.
Yeah, exactly. So right after Bernie Sanders talked with Obama, he just went out there and he talked about his values, what he normally talked about during his speeches. But he talked about recounting California. He did talk about that, and of course, he mentioned again that he's still going to go. He's still going to keep on fighting it, and he's going to go to the convention, see him, blah blah blah. I mean, he continued on saying that, of course. But here's another thing about you know, talking to Barack Obama, right? Hillary Clinton talked to Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama supported Hillary Clinton way long ago anyways. This is like a year ago. Barack Obama talked to the superdelegates and tried to get all the superdelegates to go to Hillary because she's a more presumptive nominee, blah, 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 has more values, blah, 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 blah. You know, but Barack Obama has always supported Hillary Clinton and now has made literally a speech on supporting Hillary Clinton. Like, Barack Obama is literally talking for Hillary Clinton right now. And today. And Hillary Clinton.
Is he trying to talk for Bernie Sanders?
No, not at all. He doesn't even mention to the public or anything about Bernie Sanders. Barack Obama did talk to Bernie Sanders face to face, but didn't mention any kind of advertisement or any kind of say anything good about Bernie Sanders in the eye of the television, you know?
What do you think, Bernie Sanders? I have a question for you. What does Bernie Sanders have to gain from me? What do you think Bernie Sanders really thinks about Barack Obama? And do you think he thinks he's just a standard politician?
Well, you know, during the debates, Bernie Sanders, you know, had said that, you know, he does support Barack Obama and, you know, he's been a good friend of Barack Obama, knows Barack Obama for a while. So he has said that during his debates. So, you know, and Hillary Clinton has also been a really good friend with Barack Obama. So, you know, Bernie Sanders has got nothing against Barack Obama and respects him. But, you know, Bernie Sanders has his own values and doesn't take any backseat to Barack Obama. Yeah. Unlike Hillary Clinton, supports a lot of stuff that Barack Obama has done, you know what I mean? And is very, very good friends, even quadruple times more good friends with Barack Obama than Bernie Sanders. So, you know, Barack Obama totally likes Hillary Clinton. Now, I want to show you a short video on what Barack Obama had to say on Hillary Clinton. Let me show this audio real quick. It's only about like a minute.
You mean play it, right?
Yeah.
I know how hard this job can be. That's why I know Hillary will be so good at it. In fact, I don't think there's ever been someone so qualified to hold this office.
Okay, so that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? Did you manage to hear what he said?
Yeah, I heard the whole thing very, very clearly. I believe you know, like, that's the one thing I guess it's kind of funny Barack Obama saying that. He wasn't that experienced when he got elected, but that's a standard line for Hillary Clinton, that she's qualified.
Exactly.
I'm just saying
exactly.
That's a standard line that you hear a lot.
Well, of course, Barack Obama got Hillary Clinton into the seat of Secretary of State. And they've been best buddies since. And now, you know, well, I mean, this election term, Barack Obama has been supporting Hillary Clinton. And now you see that he literally made a speech for Hillary Clinton already on video. So, I mean, there it is, you know.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's kind of like it's a matter of timing. Elizabeth Warren came out today and endorsed Clinton, too. The Democratic Party is attempting to solidify itself and look more together and, you know, like unified than the Trump camp, because they have the advantage now of really outshining Donald Trump and his crazy man antics. So the momentum and the power base goes way beyond Bernie Sanders. Everybody knows that Sanders played a vital role in this election, and he re-energized it and provided, you know, the path for congruency and honesty and culpability. But the fact of the matter is that, like you've said in the past, the media might just march on straight into the July convention, July 25th, the full impact of Bernie Sanders is not going to be reached maybe for 1 or 2 years, just in the same way that Eugene McCarthy, the anti-Vietnam War protester, the senator from Minnesota, got beaten out by the status quo candidate Hubert Humphrey, who ended up becoming the nominee for the 1968 Democratic Convention after Robert Kennedy was killed. So Eugene McCarthy had tons of popular support, but it still didn't stop the Democratic Party from choosing the status quo candidate. But I think there will be a lot of protests and even some bloodshed in Philadelphia in July.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep. And today I checked at the BernieOrBust.org, and there was 112,000 petitions for the Bernie pledge, to write in Bernie Sanders or to go to a Green Party candidate, you know, like Joe Stein. And so that's the number right now at the BernieOrBust.org. It's 112,000 people already take a pledge. And, you know, it's growing and growing, so continue to grow. So, you know, I don't think Hillary is going to hold the party together, and she's going to unify the party, you know what I mean? She seems more a divider, you know, and I think Bernie would have been more of a unitizer, because you here's one thing for sure. There's no Hillary or bust. That's for sure. That doesn't exist. There's no Hillary or bust organization or people signing petitions for that. Nothing like that. Maybe one or two renegades, right? But the Bernie or bust, it's huge, right? So, you know what I mean? That shows that Hillary Clinton is going to be a divider, and Bernie's going to be more of a unitizer than Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean?
I think Hillary Clinton serves a purpose of some strange sort of stability in doubtful times, and a contrast to what Donald Trump stands for. But I think in the long run, there's going to be a large fragmentation of the country, especially people under age 30 who just think it's they'll give a heavy sigh and say it's business as usual, and we were kind of opted out of the system. Unless they find a really powerful role for Bernie Sanders to play after the convention. In my own heart of hearts, I would like Clinton to choose Bernie Sanders as a running mate, but they're probably afraid that independent and swing voters are not going to vote for someone who's labeled a socialist. But he's proven that within his senatorial role that he can work with both sides of the aisle and he can be effective in leadership. But for the uneducated voters, they don't know that. They just pigeonhole him as a socialist. So
well,
it's sad to say that the mass appeal is pretty, you know, the mass public really just doesn't have the wherewithal and the intelligence to discern who's right for this country.
Yeah, of course. And the Republicans had used that to their tactics to scare, you know, a lot of people. I mean, even Donald Trump has compared, you know, oh, Bernie Sanders, a socialist, you know, and compared it with freaking Hitler. Now, you know, and a lot of people will be scared, right, if they don't know anything, right? Here's the thing. Hitler was a fascism. He was a fascist, right? And socialism is a different thing than fascism. So, you know, and a lot of people get confused. They don't understand, you know. And so that's...
Yeah, like
that's
socialism is actually a good thing in the modern age because capitalism cannot meet the needs and the requirements for this complex society. We need socialist...
Capitalism,
we need a socialist agenda to
support
American citizens.
We need to socialize our country more. And, you know, kind of like a hybrid of capitalism and socialism, but more socialism because in this modern age, you know, the way we're running things right now in our capitalist system, right, our companies are designed to make max profit, as much profit as they can make, right? And so they make stuff that's going to break, you know, in a short amount of time, you know, cars, computers, and stuff like that, that, you know, breaks like 2 or 3 years after you buy it or whatnot. And so we go through our resources like crazy, you know, and this stuff that we can't even recycle. So it just, we're going through our resources like crazy, and it's terrible because capitalism, it just eats up the earth, you know.
Germany is the most successful country on earth as far as economics. Their citizens get the highest wages. They have free college, and people can pick between four-year colleges and vocational programs. They pretty much have lifelong guarantees in employment as long as they don't screw up too bad, like, you know, skip work and don't show up. And it's a planned economy. Like they make plans and adaptations technologically for the future. And actually,
exactly.
Germany was the first. Yeah, they were the first country in the 1890s to institute Social Security. So
it's
always been a good country.
Yeah,
right.
And that was 100 years ago. I mean, they make big improvements. You know what I mean?
Absorbed 1 million Syrians, too, in that country.
Since Hitler, right? They've done a lot of big improvements since Hitler made Germany a terrible place. A couple decades later, it got better and better, and it's doing really good right now, right? And so, you know, why can't America be doing good? I mean, we went into the revolution, independence. You talk about Independence Day when America kind of separated itself from England, you know, back in a long, long time ago, right? You know what I mean? We've been through that a long time ago, and we've been improving slowly but surely, but not fast enough as we should, because we have these systems that are holding us back. We have the gerrymandering, the Electoral College, and we got the Citizens United now, and the TPP, and all that other stuff, and et cetera. The list goes on. But yeah, our rules and regulations, they just benefit the wealthy and take away from the poor, you know, and just ridiculous. Now, to go back on, you know, Bernie Sanders, you know, being very, 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 very progressive, right? And especially Joe Stein, right, for the Green Party, very progressive. Here's some of Joe Stein's very progressive views, right? Joe Stein said during her speeches, he said that, when Barack Obama became the president, his first term, he bailed out the banks, even though when he was running, he said that, you know, he was against the banks and they're crooked and blah, blah, blah. And then right when he got elected, he bailed out the banks, right? And so Joe Stein said that when she becomes president, she will bail out all the college students. And, you know, and the amount of money to comparing to bailing out the banks, it's extremely small. It wouldn't even dent us to compare to how much money we spent bailing out the banks, right? And so Joe Stein said that she would do that. And she said if all the students that are in debt, you know, owing money and whatnot, knew that, and that just the college students that are in debt voting for Joe Stein, that'd be enough, just enough. More than enough to win the nominee, you know. And that's what Jill Stein has said. And, of course, you said other stuff that, you know, that Bernie Sanders hasn't said. Jill Stein said that she would bring back Edward Snowden and she would release Bradley Manning from prison and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's what she wants, you know.
It's too bad that she doesn't have more media coverage because, and this is probably one of the few places that she will have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, third parties get ignored by the mainstream media. And, you know, I mean, as we all know it right now. And it's ridiculous.
Let's just say Jill Stein became president. I don't even know if she'd have the power to get Bradley Manning out of prison. Sorry to say.
Yeah. Well, let's just say if you're the president, You have this thing.
You can pardon.
Yeah, I mean, but you can make an executive decision, right? You can executive decision, and you know, see if that passes by Congress and whatnot. I mean, so you got the power to do that, right? You got the power of the executive, you know, power, right? But also too, you also got the power of publicity, right? You get a lot of, you get TV time and time to talk and a lot of people to listen to you, right? And so you could, and also as president, you also have the power of the lobbyists, right? Where you have a bunch of lobbyists that try to push for something, right? And Barack Obama is really known for using the lobbyists a lot. He uses the lobbyists very much so. So, you know, to say that, you know, that she doesn't have the power to do that, she does. She could do that. That's possible. You can never say never, you know. I mean, let's look back. I mean, just a couple of years ago, we said that gay people will.
Yeah, I think Albert got cut off. I'll wait a minute for him. Let me try doing something quick. Albert, are you there? Albert. If you're listening, Albert, you'll have to call back in. So one thing I wanted to say is, I did go on Greg Palast's Twitter account, and he's really strongly promoting this ideology that he really believes that there's an issue regarding the California primary, and I'll read it to you. If you're in California and you've not voted in the California primary, get out there. Make sure you protect your vote when you do. And then there's a link to the article I just read. And then the NPP voters, he also states on his Twitter account, which is twitter.com/Greg_Palast, P-A-L-A-S-T. How can the Associated Press say that 96% of California is in when over 500,000 mail-in and provisional ballots, mostly Bernie votes, have not been counted. Now, well, in this case, there's a deadline. If people didn't mail it in by June 7th, then there's a possibility that their vote won't count. So in that case, he doesn't have a link, but his blog, which I identified as an article, is gregpalast.com. You can find all his information there. Now, as I've stated in the past, not to be negative or positive, But I am a Clinton supporter. Here, I think he might be back. Albert?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, for some reason you just, your phone didn't disconnect, but you completely disappeared.
What part did I get cut off where I was talking?
Well, I can't remember because I was trying to hold the audience's attention. But you were elaborating about Jill Stein and her probability of getting.
I don't know where I got cut off, but I think you were talking about
Bradley Manning and Jill Stein, but it was less than a minute ago. What I did is I tried changing your status from mute to non-mute and back to mute and then back to non-mute because you didn't get cut off, but your voice cut off and you were still on the line. So I don't know technologically what happened. So
right,
I thought
right,
maybe
right.
If you were cut off for good, you would have just called back in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I'll continue on, right?
It's your floor. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, Joe Stein has said that, you know, she would bring back Edward Snowden, right? It was just a whistleblower, right? And she would release Bradley Manning. And, you know, and of course, you know, people say, oh, that can't be done. You can't release Bradley Manning just because you become a president, right? Well, presidents have the power to make an executive decision, right? They can use the executive power, right? And then also, too, they got the power of the lobbyists. We know that Barack Obama has used the lobbyists very much. In fact, he used the lobbyists a lot. So Barack Obama loves to use the power of the lobbyists, you know, grabbing as much lobbyists as possible to push his political agendas. So, and, you know, and of course, you also have the power of publicity, right? You're on television, right? You get more TV time, and in Congress, you have to listen to what you're saying, you know, when you're up on the stage. So, yes, the president has the power to do things such as using the publicity, such as using the lobbyists, and also using the executive decision, right? But to say that we still can't do it even all with all that, to say that it's impossible. I mean, look at gay people, right? Gay people.
I didn't
used to
say that it was
people?
Impossible. I said it would be a struggle.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying it to everybody. I'm letting everybody know. I'm saying
okay.
That before you used to say that gay people would never be able to get married, and now they can. Now gay people can get married. Before you used to say that women will never be allowed to vote, and now they can. And this is going way back, right? Like black people will always be slaves, and now they're not anymore. And, you know, things have been changing, you know, a lot of things have changed. And, you know, recently right now, you know, the gay.
You're right.
And so, you know, things do happen and can happen, right? So, you know, Joe Stein can make things happen, you know, but like I said, by using the executive decision and using lobbyists and, you know, and publicity. So, you know, I mean,
well, maybe Jill Stein. Do you think Jill Stein would ever take a position in the Clinton administration if she wins? Or would she just be an outlying radical?
Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton are way far apart. Jill Stein is for peace. Hillary Clinton claims to be for peace when she's for war, when she voted for the war in Iraq. And she supported the war in Libya. She supported what in Haiti, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? I mean, Hillary Clinton is a warmonger. We know that. You know, and people that don't want to believe that don't know about
that.
It. Yeah.
Why do you call Hillary Clinton a warmonger?
Because she always supports the war. She voted yes for the war in Iraq. She supported the war in Libya. All the bombings that happened. And, you know, the extraction of Gaddafi, when we took Gaddafi out of Libya, she supported all of that. And things just got worse. I mean, you'd think that we would learn from mistakes, right? You'd think that the mistake that Bush did when they took out Saddam and things got worse in Iraq, you'd think that Barack Obama would learn from that mistake, right? Well, I mean, and I mean Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, right? Because you think that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton will learn from that mistake, right? Nope. That the same mistake would happen in Iraq, and they did it, the same mistake, and they did it in Libya, right? And so they took out Gaddafi out of Libya, and things just got worse in Libya, right? So they're repeating the same mistake over and over again. And Hillary is just right behind them making the same mistakes and supporting those mistakes, and then saying, oh, I should have never supported that. I changed my decision based on the new information I got, and I'm not really flip-flopping and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? No, that's not right. I don't like that at all. I mean, on that stuff that she supported, you know?
I agree, you know. But I do think with that 2003 Iraqi vote, a lot of senators and congressmen were duped. I think a lot of people were in the dark on that, and they did go with the flow. Paul Wellstone, he was the only senator, I believe, from my state that voted against the Iraqi war. Maybe Sanders did too. I don't think Sanders was a senator back then.
Bernie Sanders voted against the Iraq war. Yeah, he sure did. Yeah, he voted against it. He said no. Bernie Sanders even predicted what would happen in Iraq. He predicted it. He said that it's going to cause destabilization and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, he predicted it, and he voted no on it. And you know what I mean? And exactly what he said would happen happened, and, you know, things got worse.
Yeah, well, I predict that eventually our American democracy will fall because there's just too much conflict and friction. And it seems like with whoever wins, there's for each person who wins, there's a coalition of bigger losers, and the country's getting more disenfranchised. So hopefully Bernie Sanders' effectiveness will bring some of the middle class and lower class into the political process to feel like they have a voice. And through the use of multimedia and all our accessibilities to resources on the internet and stuff, I believe that people have the possibility for becoming more informed. But as you could see with Greg Palast's article that I mentioned tonight, people are know where they stand, but they don't even have the basic fundamental things to even know what measures they need to take to protect their own vote. So it doesn't matter how passionate you are, you still have to pay attention to the cues. With that, we've been going for, it'll be an hour and about 5 minutes, and none of our friends called in, nor my other co-host, Don, which I think he might be at work or something. He did text back once and said he'd call in, but he didn't. So would you like to do your conclusion?
Yeah, sure. Well, before that, let me make a quick show what Jill Stein has to say on how...
Sure, you can play an audio if you would like.
Yeah, I want to play audio on what Jill Stein has to say on how they push out Bernie Sanders and how they treated him and blah, blah, blah. Watch, I'll play it right now. Give me a minute. Let me see. Give me a minute. I'll play it now.
He, too, is a peace candidate. I should say his election to the nomination of the Democratic Party. The party changed the rule to steeply tilt that playing field, creating superdelegates and Super Tuesdays that make it very hard for a grassroots campaign to prevail. And over the years, the party has allowed principled candidates to be seen and heard, but has at the end of the day sabotaged them in one way or the other, often through fear campaigns and smear campaigns, in the same way that Bernie is being called a spoiler now and has been for some weeks. Dennis Kucinich was redistricted and basically, you know, taken off the political map. We saw Jesse Jackson, the victim of a smear campaign. People remember the Dean scream that was used against Howard Dean as a peace candidate who was doing well. So in many ways, the Democratic Party creates campaigns that fake left while it moves right and becomes more corporatist, more militarist, more imperialist. This is why we say it's hard to have a revolutionary campaign inside of a counter-revolutionary party. That's why we're here as the Green Party, to build a place where a revolutionary movement can truly grow.
So basically,
You know what I mean? That's what she has to say on how it is. You know, she literally said to how
I
it
was
is, right
gonna
there.
Make a comment. There already is a revolution going on within the Democratic Party. Now, I don't think Bernie Sanders would have gotten the attention that he got had he run as an independent, because technically, as a senator, he is not a Democrat. He's an independent. He's not party affiliated. But
and
I think there's
like
already
said,
a revolution. Well, wait, there is a revolution already going on within the Democratic Party and the nation
you.
As a whole.
Exactly.
I don't think there's,
I believe you. But this is why
but wait,
it's happening.
I don't think there's room for another counter-revolution within the revolution. Americans don't even have the attention span to sit through a 30-minute speech, most of them. I'm sure a lot of people engaged in the debates that went on in the fall and early winter, but really I just don't think people are – there's only so many layers of revolution that can take place at one time, especially for the powerless and people without money.
Well, here's why it's true that there's been a revolution in the Democrat Party and even in the Republican Party, you know, because they're pushing out the third parties, right? And of course, there's been a revolution, and this is why there's proof of the revolution within the Democrat Party and whatnot, because they recently got super delegates. A couple years ago, to make sure that they're the nominees they want to win, right? So they got the super delegates, and then they got Super Tuesdays, right? To make sure to make it really hard for the, you know, grassroots small candidates with a little bit of money to actually be able to hold on Super Tuesdays. And then they also got gerrymandering, right? We haven't always had gerrymandering. That's something that came out just a couple of decades ago, right? And gerrymandering, right, where it cuts out districts and pushes out the third parties, and also cuts districts and also other nominees within the Democrat Party. You know what I mean? And then of course Republicans have unpledged delegates. I know.
I got my undergrad degree between 1978 and 82, and I learned about gerrymandering in the early 80s, so it's been around at least 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't always had that, right? Just like I said, we haven't always had that. That's just something that has come about a couple of decades ago, right? Like I said, a couple of decades ago. 40 years ago, 40 decades ago, 4 decades ago. So, okay, that we all, and then here's another thing that we haven't always had. And also, it's not just the districts. I'm trying to remember. It's the winner takes all in the states, right? That's something we added to our new feature and repolished Electoral College, which is winner takes all state, and every state can have it or not have it if they want to. And it's another way where the redistribution of people of votes cannot really matter. You know what I mean? When the winner takes all in some states, it just makes it really hard for some candidates. It really, how you say, distributions disproportionize people votes by having the winner takes all, on some states.
Yeah, I'm a strong supporter of proportional. Like if Sanders gets 40% of the vote, then he should get 40% of the candidate, 40% of the delegates. I don't like the winner take all philosophy, because in a democratic society, it just shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like a sport.
Yeah, and the national vote system wants to push that out, and change the Electoral College. It's called the national vote, you know. But then, you know, many people just prefer the one person, one vote, right? Which is the populist vote, right? And that's what they want, a lot of people. I mean, you've seen Democracy Now. Democracy Spring, they organized like 2,000 people to show up at D.C. To protest, and 1,300 of them got arrested and taken to jail. And that's how crazy it is. They try to end the Electoral College. And, you know, the Electoral College, I mean, over 200 requests have been made to try to get rid of the Electoral College and have failed, you know. That's how hard it is to really push through our cricket government, basically. So, I mean, a lot of people don't like it, you know. Very few support the Electoral College.
Well, I just think that we live in a complicated world now, and the way that the institutional structures of our government are set up are not, they're not satisfactory to making the American public happy. A lot of people just feel like the system is beyond them.
Exactly.
But then again, you have the idiotic Trump supporters waving their flags that feel like they're all in and they're 100% patriotic, but they don't even know why.
Here's an interesting thing to
they're looking
look at
for a savior moment. Complex.
Right.
There's not going to be some big remedy. Being a president does not make you an automatic jobs creator. People aren't just going to get great jobs if Trump gets elected. I mean, a lot of people are just deceived.
No, well, you know, here's something recently that I just looked up on Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump has a flip-flop to taking out Gaddafi out of Libya, and he has flip-flop on other things too. And of course, I had mentioned all, you know, about Donald Trump being sued from Trump's university, you know, being people protesting at his rally, and many other things. And then Donald Trump, when he said, go punch that guy in the face, and I'll pay for your court fees.
Mm-hmm.
And whatnot. I can go on forever. I mean, Donald Trump literally makes himself look bad. There's so many things you can talk bad about Donald Trump so easy. But here, let me go back on the two-party system, right? The Democrats and Republicans, right? I mean, they're supported by the big and powerful. And this is how easy it is. The Koch brothers have given money to Barack Obama and also the Republicans, right? The Koch brothers have been known multiple times to give money to Republicans and Democrats. Now, even Goldman Sachs, right? Goldman Sachs right now is giving money to Hillary Clinton, right? Goldman Sachs is like one of the top contributors to Hillary Clinton. And we all know Goldman Sachs, you know, the way bankrupt America and all the people lost their houses. I don't mean that I can go on a separate page on that. But anyways, yeah, Goldman Sachs, you know, bad guy, blah, 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 you know, should be in jail. But anyways, so yeah, Goldman Sachs has given lots of money to Hillary Clinton's campaign, but at the same time has also helped Ted Cruz. In fact, Ted Cruz's wife works for Goldman Sachs. Ted Cruz has been spotted wearing Goldman Sachs jacket. So
yes.
There's proof. There's more proof. You know, Goldman Sachs gives money to Republicans and Democrats. And then, like I said, you know, the Koch brothers, and list goes on. So the Democrats and Republicans get money from the same powerful rich people. So really, it's not a two-party system. It's a one-party system. The Democrats and Republicans are a one-party system. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton.
Well, I've
going
heard that
to
argument
Trump
before, but
Nisa's wedding.
There's a lot of philosophical differences, though,
between Ted Cruz and Hillary Clinton. Let me go further than that. Hillary Clinton has gone to Donald Trump's niece's wedding, right? And they get along together. They're good buddies, right? Hillary Clinton's been into their wedding. Let me see. Clinton, right? Not Hillary Clinton, but, you know, Bill Clinton, right? Has played golf with Donald Trump not once but twice, right? They play golf together, right? And so, you know, they hang out and they're like best buddies playing golf together and going to each other's weddings. But yet, when it comes to national television for the, you know, candidate for the presidential nominee, right? They talk bad about each other, right? And on television, right? But behind closed doors, they hang out and play golf. You know, that's how ridiculous.
They were
so
friends for years, and Trump donated to their campaign, you know.
Exactly. Trump has given money to Hillary Clinton a decade ago, you know.
And other Democrats, too. He's given it to
exactly.
many
Ted
Democrats.
Cruz got money from Donald Trump, you know. This is Ted Cruz, John Kasich.
Maybe hush money.
Yeah. And does John Kasich? I don't know if Marco Rubio. I can't remember. I think Marco Rubio has gotten money too. A lot of the other candidates that even running against, on the Republican side, they even got running against him, have got money for him. That's how ridiculous it is on the Republican side. But anyways, money flies all over the place, right? And so the two-party system, there's a one-party system. That's what it is. Now, and so people just know about Democrats and Republicans, but they don't know about the other parties that are going on right now, right? They don't know about the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Constitution Party, America Reform Party, and then there's also the Moderate Wing Party, and then there's the Private Party, Pirate Party, Workers' World Party.
They do know the Libertarian Party is very well organized. And
yeah,
when I lived
exactly.
in Los Angeles, I was friends with a radio host named Larry Elder, who his main central platform was the Libertarian Party and low government involvement in affairs. So many parts of the country, the Libertarians are well known.
The Libertarians are the number one third party in America. Right now, John Kasich is basically the winner for the Libertarian candidate. So John Kasich is going to be taking the stage. And in 2012, as well, John Kasich also was the winner in the Libertarian Party. So again, he's the winner for the Libertarian Party again for 2016. So
why John Kasich? Because he's a micromanager of the budget.
John Kasich gets a lot more media time on television. He gets a lot more promotion. So a lot of people don't even know about the other guys like John McAfee. And many other parties for the Libertarian parties, right? John Kasich is just more popular in the Libertarian Party. So I guess he won 2012 and he won it again to 2016. So he's going to be...
he's likable there, right?
Yeah.
He's well-liked.
No, because the last Libertarian debate when they went to the National Convention to see for the Libertarian Party, I don't remember all the details, but I do remember that the people showed up to protest against John Kasich, and then also there was a guy literally they stripped almost naked on television, and the mainstream media didn't show one single footage of that. The mainstream media had no coverage.
Why did he take his clothes off?
The Libertarian Party debate and their at the national convention, at their own national convention. Even though a guy stripped almost naked and started dancing around, the mainstream media didn't even cover that. That's how ridiculous it was. You know what I mean? And so the Libertarian Party is literally pulling everything out of their hats. You know what I mean? But John Kasich is the taker for the Libertarian Party. And then, of course, Joe Stein is the taker for the Green Party. And, this goes on. But the other parties, they're pretty weak. But, let me go back on the Green Party, right? The Green Party is in
second
place.
Okay, I just want to let you know, I'm limited to 10 more minutes of showtime. After that, I have to go. Okay?
Okay. So real quick, the Green Party is in second place of all the third parties, right? After the Libertarians comes the Green Party, right, in America, right? Now the Green Party doesn't have ballot access to all 50 states because the two parties have ballot access to 50 states permanently, and they don't have to fight for every election term, versus the third parties have to fight for every time. So right now the Green Party is trying to push and trying to get ballot access in all 50 states. So in order for people to be even actually be actually be able to vote for a Green Party candidate. So that's how ridiculous it is right now, and people are pushing to that right now. In fact, Jill Stein is pushing to be in the polls because the mainstream media the national election, right? They won't even put Joe Stein in the polls. So she's fighting to be put on the polls as well. So yeah, the Green Party has been fighting a lot, and the Green Party is not just in America; they're actually in other countries, you know, and mainly in Europe. So the Green Party has a lot of you know, affiliation in Europe, like in France, Germany, you know, England, and you know, over there and whatnot. So I mean, you know, they're recognizable. But, you know, that's basically it for me.
Right. I think you summarized it well. And like in Europe, there's a lot of countries that have proportional, like, let's say 100 people vote for a congressional seat. And if the yellow party gets 15 votes, then 15 yellow party representatives get to be in the legislature. Like, so they have multi-tiered parties in Europe, you know, that can be represented. But in the United States, I would agree people are rather sick of the two-party system.
But the
fact of the matter is, what's to say if those minority parties, if they got in, if they're not going to be bought off? I mean, there's very few people with integrity nowadays. So, hopefully there are people with integrity, but not always. I guess I'm going to do my conclusion now just because I want to. My conclusion is, do you have background noise right now?
Yeah. I got the...
Are you looking for another video? Okay, my conclusion is, you can go ahead.
Go on.
What do you want to say?
No, go. I mean, I don't know. Don't you usually get, the availability of 2 hours?
You know what, Albert? I don't have the energy. It was my last day of school today. I work in an elementary school, and I had to run to 2 or 3 government office buildings. And I scheduled the show. I scheduled it for 60 minutes, and we do have 2 hours, but I don't have the strength to stay on the air that long. You can run the show by yourself if you want, and I'll just leave it running.
No, we don't have any callers. There'd be no discussion to talk about because there's nobody
else
to cover.
We've covered a lot of ground. I guess... We've covered a lot of ground, Albert. We've been on the air 75 minutes. And I think that our archive listeners are going to understand the gist of what we're discussing. So, but I guess my main conclusion is I was happy tonight that I found Greg Palast, who is a writer for the BBC and the Guardian, because the European newspapers, they don't mince words or cause bullshit, and he also wrote a book about democracy and money. So I feel like he was an authentic source, but I personally was not aware that non-preference party voters had to ask for a Democratic crossover vote, and there's a possibility that 4 million votes got lost in the shuffle in California. So I do think that with this type of show that we're doing tonight, that as we've hammered into people over, the mainstream media has some pertinent information, but you have to dig a lot deeper if you're looking for answers. So continue the fight and believe in what you believe, not just to support your own answers and your own proofs, but look for the dirt at the bottom because you might find things that you were not aware of. And that's my conclusion. How would you like to end the show tonight?
I'm good. I mean, I would, you know, just like in the beginning I said, you know, I would remind people to go to the MSNBC website and go search for the Hillary to vote, if they're going to vote for Hillary or not, on the polls. And then there's a link right there where you can click yes or no or maybe. And then once you click that, page will open up saying 85% said no for Hillary Clinton. And so their poll numbers on their website show that 85% say no for Hillary Clinton. But yet on television, they say the opposite. So that's something very interesting to look at.
Well, I'll check it out myself personally on MSNBC.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give you the link to it later on. I'll give you the link. I'll post it on my Facebook about that. I'll just post the link to it on my Facebook.
Sure.
For those of you who know me, who are listening right now, I'll post a link on my Facebook so you guys can check it out. Just simply type in, you know, look at YouTube videos on Bernie Sanders' rally, right, in California, and Hillary Clinton's rally in California. And it's a big difference, right? How many people show up to see Bernie, right? But the votes are going different, right? So another question to ask, right? Why would more people show up to the Bernie rally, but more people vote for Hillary instead, right? That's very debacling, right? What the hell? Right?
I guess the only thing I can say is the mainstream Democratic Party members are maybe too lazy to go visit, go in person to listen. And the young people who are engaged are more apt to show up at those types of rallies. But I can't predict it. I'm just telling you how it is.
Yeah.
You know. So
yeah.
It's hard to say just based on appearances. I'm not going to discredit Clinton on that level. But with that, I have to end the show, not personally for any other reason, but that I'm low on energy. Pray that, I don't know, if the election cycle is just a matter of the lesser of two evils, then I hope that something can come good with whoever the new administration is in November, and that our country doesn't go down the tubes any further. So, good night, Albert.
Good night.
All right, thanks for joining. Good night.